Good morning. I apologize. We're a little bit late. We're continuing the shiur on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Sukkah, Halacha Hey, paragraph. Hilchos Sukkah, Halacha Dalid, paragraph Vav. Hilchos Sukkah, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Vav. And we dedicate the shiur today for a complete refuah shleima for Yus Behendel Bas Gitalea and Aviv Elona Bas Yispendel, Sarocho Bas Yispendel, Gavriel Shloimoy Ben Edith, Ben Sion Ben Chanaleya, Yehoshua Ben Yentaleya, and Rochel Bas Shendel. B'soich Shar Chol Yisrael. Today's shiur, the first part, is going to address a very important question. There's a famous Gemara where the Gemara says that at the end of time, when Mashiach will come, the other nations of the world are going to come to Hashem with a complaint. They're going to say, we also could have done mitzvahs. We also could have been religious. And Hashem is going to say, you know what? We'll give you a test. We'll give you a test now. And Hashem is going to present a test, and they're going to fail the test. And that's going to be a proof to show what they were lacking, and it's going to be a very important lesson to us. This is going to be the first part of the shiur today. And in the second part, hopefully, we're going to begin the next halacha, halacha Dalit, which is based on a very significant chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal addresses the topic of the tzaddik and his responsibility to address the two categories in Klal Yisrael, the Dorei Mala and the Dorei Mata, the people who are very advanced, very religious, and also the people who are very distant from Hashem. So let's begin. Again, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Vav. Rav Nosson Zal says, Nimtza, based on what we've been learning till now, we conclude, Shalidei Mitzvah Sukkah, that by performing the mitzvah of sukkah, shehu bechinas shemamidin umekimen esu'emuna hanafula, which means we are lifting up, elevating, and establishing the fallen faith. Meaning, when any weakness in faith that people have, faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah, faith in tzaddikim, which is referred to as nefila su'emuna. Bechinas sukas David hanoifoles, and we find a similar term, noifoles, used about the sukkah associated with David HaMelech, which is malchus, which is again associated with emuna. And Rabbeinu Zal had said alideze nasin geirim, that through the tikkun emuna, when we repair the fallen emuna, through this, converts come and join the Jewish nation. Vezeu bechinas shemesakhin bepsoiles goyren veyekev. And Rav Nosson Zal had said previously that this is represented by the fact that one of the most important parts of the sukkah, in fact the most important, the schach, the roof of the sukkah, is made from the chaff of the grains and the vineyards. The chaff, the psoiles, which Rav Nosson Zal had said, that refers to the non-Jews compared to the Jews. The Jews are referred to as the fruit itself, the grain itself. The non-Jews are referred to as the psoiles goyren v'yekev, the chaff of the grain. And on Sukkot, we're showing that in making our sukkah and fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah, we're taking this chaff and bringing it into the Kedusha, not just into the Kedusha, but it's becoming like a crown of the Kedusha, the schach on the sukkah, these converts that join Klal Yisrael. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'al kein, and based on this, we can understand why ha'umais sheloi rotzu lehizgayar ba'olam hazeh, all of those non-Jews who refused to convert, who did not choose to convert, before Moshiach comes in this world, Yisnasu la'osid b'mitzvah sukkah, are going to be tested in the future regarding the mitzvah of sukkah. K'mayshom Rabbi Senezal, as our rabbis tell us in the Gemara, that when they're going to come with a complaint that we weren't really given an opportunity to show our loyalty to Hashem, Hashem's going to say, okay, mitzvah kala yeshli, I have a very easy mitzvah, the sukkah shma. The name of this mitzvah is sukkah. Let's see if you can perform the mitzvah of sukkah now. V'chol echad v'echad oise sukkah b'roish gagoy. The Gemara says these non-Jews are going to go up to the roof of their home and they're going to build a sukkah over there. V'hakadosh Baruch Hu moitzi chama min artika. And what Hashem is going to do is he's going to take the sun out of its case. The sun, as we experience it now, is a filtered, smaller version of the true actual light of the sun. It's in a nartik, it's in a case. Hashem is going to go ahead and take the sun out of its case, and the goyim are going to feel the heat, and they're going to all run out of their sukkah, and the Gemara says they're going to kick the sukkah on the way out to show their disdain for the mitzvah. Rav Nosson Zal explains, because based on the explanation we gave earlier, through the mitzvah of sukkah, that should have brought all the other nations to come and join the Jewish nation. Because the sukkah, in building the sukkah, in making the schach, we're taking the chaff, which represents these other nations, and bringing it in, incorporating it, integrating it into the mitzvah, and making it the most significant part of the mitzvah. V'al kein, and therefore, elu sheloi rotzu lehizgayar bo'olam hazeh, those non-Jews who refused to come and join the Jewish nation in this world, ula'asid, and in the future, the Gemara tells us, ein mekablin geirim, we will not accept converts once Mashiach comes, once the free choice is almost completely eliminated, almost, and once the entire world sees clearly the existence of Hashem. Ki ein mekablem geirim limoisa Mashiach, because the Gemara says clearly, we do not accept converts when Mashiach comes. We only accept converts during the time that the Jews are struggling and having a difficult time being loyal to Hashem. Then a person who comes to join us is joining with real sincerity. Whereas when Mashiach comes and the Jews will be on a high and the whole world will recognize our importance and significance, then the conversion would not really be real. Al kein, therefore, yihye onsham al yidei mitzvah sukkah. Their punishment will be through the mitzvah of sukkah. Because they were not willing to convert in this world, meaning before Mashiach comes, through the mitzvah of sukkah, alkein yisnasu, therefore they'll be tested, v'yisanshu, and they'll be punished la'osid in the future, alidei mitzvah sukkah, through the mitzvah of sukkah. V'ha'oinish yihye, and what'll be the punishment? That Hashem will take the sun out of its case, because as we mentioned in the previous year, the Gemara emphasizes that in a sukkah there must be more shade than sunlight. This is the concept of a person restricting and constricting their thoughts. Their mind, shehein bechinas chama, the brain which is compared to the light of the sun, v'zehu ikar tikun hakedusha, and this is one of the most important aspects of dealing with holiness, achieving holiness, lasois tzimtzum el riboy ho'er, for the person to be able to create a constriction in which to be able to receive the great light. Because when there's too much oil going to the wick, it floods the candle and it extinguishes the candle. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that when Hashem first created the world and he attempted to put his light into certain vessels, and those vessels weren't strong enough. They didn't have the quality, the full quality of tzimtzum needed to contain the light and to constrict the light, the vessels burst. It's called Shvira Sakelim. And that was because of Ribui Hor, too much light. Al Kain, therefore, Iker Tikun HaKedusha Al Yedei HaTzimtzum. One of the most important aspects of achieving holiness is tzimtzum, constriction. V'zeh Bechinas HaTikun Shel Kol HaMitzvos. And this is really one of the main accomplishments of all the mitzvos that we perform. La'asos tzimtzum u'kli el ha'or. It's all about preparing a constriction and a vessel for the light. Tefillin are a vessel into which the light of Hashem can come and radiate, and we can receive the light. Tefillin, tzitzis, a woman lighting candles on Erev Shabbos, all of the positive and negative commandments are all vessels. They're all tzimtzumim of the light, a manner of us being able to receive the light of Hashem in a healthy, constricted manner. V'kol echod v'echod, kefi asher zocho la'aseis mitzvos bozeh ha'olam, and each and every person, based on the mitzvos that we were successful in performing in this world, kein nas mehem levushim, that generates garments, shehem tzimtzumim v'kelim, which are constrictions and vessels, asher bohem yizke lekabel ha'or hagonuz v'tzofun, in which the person will be able in the future to be able to receive the great hidden light, which is impossible for a person to be able to receive and benefit from unless the person has prepared vessels. This term, hidden light, we're told that when Hashem first created the world, Hashem created light. And then it says, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki toiv. Hashem saw the light that it was good. And the Gemara says, ki toiv lignois. Hashem saw that it was good to hide it, meaning that the world was not ready for the full measure of light that Hashem was going to introduce in the beginning. And therefore Hashem hid it away and reserved it for the righteous people in the future. That's this hidden light. Aval horishoyim v'umay soilam, whereas the evil people or the members of the other nations, shaloi zochu l'sagel mitzvos boilam hazeh, who were not privileged to perform mitzvahs and to accumulate mitzvahs in this world, lo yihyu lahem kelim ulavushim lekabel besoichem esoer hagodol sheyizgal el osid. They will not have these vessels, these garments, into which to be able to receive the great light that's going to be revealed in the future. V'zeh yihye ikr onsham boilam haba. And this is really what's going to be their punishment in the future world, sheyikovu me'or hagodol sheyizgal el osid, whereby they'll be burned by this great light that's going to be revealed in the future, me'achar shelo yilehem kelim b'malekabloi, since they didn't prepare vessels into which to receive that light, me'achar shelo yizochu b'mitzvos ba'olam hazeh, since they were not privileged to perform mitzvahs in this world. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom rabbi seinu zal, this is what the Gemara is referring to when it says, Shelo'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moitzi Chama Min Artika. In the future, Hashem is going to take the sun out of its case. Tzadikim Misrapim Bo. The Gemara says righteous people will be cured and healed through this great light of the sun that will be revealed in the future. Urishoim, whereas wicked people, Nidoinim Bo, will be judged by this light. Meaning that light will be have a negative effect on them. Chama zebechinas oyer hasechel. The sun represents the light of knowledge and wisdom. Shehoyogonus v'tzofun ados, which was hidden away until that future time, Vaidei Ribui Ho'er Sheizgala Oz, and through this great light that'll be revealed in the future, Tzadikim Misrapin or Rishon Midoinim. Tzadikim will be healed and Rishon will be judged. Ki Hatzadikim Yis'angu Mizeh. Tzadikim will receive pleasure and benefit from this. V'yekablu chiyus refuah mizeh. They will receive new life, new energy, and healing from this revelation of the light of the sun. Ki bishvil zeh yogu v'torchu kol yameim b'avodas Hashem. Because this is what they worked for and struggled for throughout their entire lives, serving Hashem, performing mitzvahs. Hainu ki al deh mitzvahs she'osu. Because through the mitzvahs which they performed throughout their lifetime, v'heichinu ba'olam hazeh, and they made preparations while they were in this world, ayidei zeh zochu la'aseis kelim u'levushim. Through this, they were successful in preparing vessels and garments. V'ato, and now, when after Mashiach comes in that future, they will be privileged to receive in these vessels and in these garments the great light that will be revealed then. Nimtza. So therefore we conclude shehatzadikim misangemizeh. The tzadikim will derive tremendous pleasure from this. The fact that Hashem will reveal this great light at that time in the future. Because these tzaddikim have vessels into which to receive that light through the mitzvahs which they perform throughout their life in this world. However, wicked people who did not perform mitzvahs, they will be judged by that light. They'll be burned by that great light. Because they don't have vessels into which to receive the light. Because they did not perform mitzvahs while they were living in this world. Therefore, they'll be harmed by this major light. And this ties in beautifully to what we said before, to the Gemara before. That those members of the other nations who did not come and join the Jewish nation while we were living in this world, while we were performing the mitzvah of Sukkot every year, and thereby extending a welcome, in a sense, to those members of the other nations who would want to join. Yihyeh onsham lo'asid gam kein al yedei mitzvah sukkah. Their punishment in the future, their judgment, will also be through the mitzvah sukkah. Dehainu shashem yisborach yitzav alohem la'asid sukkah. Meaning that Hashem will command them to prepare a sukkah. V'sukkah hu letzel, and a sukkah is especially to provide shade and covering for those who sit in the sukkah. Shehi bechinas tzel hamegen b'fnei achama. The sukkah is supposed to provide shade and block us from any harmful light from the sun. Bechinas tzimtzum o'er. It's a constriction of the light, a limiting of the light. Ach, however, there's a rule in the Torah, Hayoim la'asoysam. The time for performing mitzvahs is today, now, while we are in this world. Ula'asid e'moyel shum asiyah shel shum mitzvah. In the future, after Mashiach comes, at that point in time, mitzvahs cannot help a person performing mitzvahs at that time. And this is why Hashem will command them based on their complaint. Hashem is going to tell them, okay, go ahead, make a sukkah now. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is an especially clear example of preparing a constriction, a vessel into which to receive the great light. Vazai kol echad oisesuka b'roish gagoi. And the Gemara tells us each one of these non-Jews is going to go ahead and prepare a sukkah on their roof. V'akadosh Baruch Hu moitzicham min atika. Hashem will take the sun out of its case. Hainu shakadosh Baruch Hu yegale b'chinas ribuy oyer. What the Gemara is referring to is the fact that Hashem is going to reveal a great light. Shezeu b'chinas moitzicham min atika. That's what the Gemara is alluding to when the Gemara uses this terminology, taking the sun out of its case. V'yunichvin alidei ribuy oyer. And they'll be burned by this great light. Then they will not be able to constrict the light through the shade of the sukkah, because at that point in the future, performing mitzvahs doesn't help. It doesn't have the effect that it used to have while we were in this world. Ki hayoim la'asoysom, because the Gemara says today is the time for performing mitzvahs. Ula osid l'kabel schorom. The Gemara says the future is just to receive the reward for your mitzvahs. V'alkein hasuka sheyasu oz loytoy lohem lohogein min oir acham agodol. And therefore this sukkah that they're going to build then in the future will not be able to help them, to protect them from the light of the great light of the sun. At that point in time, they will no longer be able to constrict and create vessels to receive this great light. Because the Gemara tells us, Ki mi shetorach bi erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. A person who worked on Friday or Sunday through Friday has what to eat on Shabbos. And if you didn't work during the week, then you won't have what to eat on Shabbos. Meaning a person who is privileged to perform mitzvahs in this world, that person will be privileged to be able to receive into the vessels and garments that they created as a result of the mitzvahs that they performed in this world, they'll be able to receive this great light. But a person who did not work and put in the effort to become close to Hashem, to perform mitzvahs in this world is compared to the 6 days of the week. Olam Haba, the future world, is compared to Shabbos, the reward, the final reward. So a person who did not perform mitzvahs in this world, lo yoyeloi im yirtze lasos mitzvahs ba'olam haba. It will not help the person, they're wanting to perform mitzvahs in the future world, because then there's no longer the same mitzvah of fulfilling the Torah. V'alkein, and therefore, lo yoyel leha'umais ha'sukkah sheyasu lo'osid. And therefore, this sukkah that they're going to make in the future then will not help them. V'yiu nichvin alidei ribuy hoer. And therefore, they'll be burned by this great light. Shehu b'chinas moitzi chama min artika, which the Gemara is referring to when the Gemara uses that terminology of Hashem taking the sun out of its case. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude Halacha Gimel. Any questions, please?
Yes. Good morning, Rav Nosson.
Yes.
The Goyim have Sheva B'mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Each one of those mitzvahs is also a very good example of making kalim for the or. And I'm just curious. It sounds like a total setup. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is bringing them something completely new, something that shocked to the Jews. They've got their own mitzvahs that are beautiful, and they can get their full tikkun through that. So I'm just curious, what's going on?
Very good question. Very important question. And this, again, re-emphasizes something I've said, and I want to re-say it. This is one page in a sefer of 4,000 pages, and in a Torah that's infinite number of pages. The Zohar HaKodesh says, and I heard this from Rav Rosenfeld, that there is a Gan Eden for Goyim. Goyim meaning Goyim, Goyim who remain Goyim, who do not convert and join the Jewish nation. Those Goyim who are Chasidei Umay Soilam, righteous non-Jews, who fulfill their mitzvahs, their obligations in this world, and do not attack or insult the Jews or harm the Jews in any way, there is a Gan Eden for them. So you're right. When they fulfill their Sheva mitzvahs, they're fulfilling their responsibility, their duty, and there is reward for them. Now, we mentioned earlier that in the Sitrachra, in the Tumah, it's not all equal. It's not all the same. There are certain klipos, certain aspects of Tumah that are considered completely Tomei, and there are certain aspects of Tumah that are considered to be a mixture of good and bad, Noiga, Tovara. And we said that converts come from that from the Noiga, that element. So again, there are non-Jews that are supposed to remain non-Jews. And if they're good non-Jews, they fulfill their mission and they will get the maximum reward that they can possibly receive. There are non-Jews who are supposed to join the Jewish nation. And if they do, they add a tremendous amount to the Jewish nation. They also bring with them certain negative elements, which the Gemara mentions and Rabbeinu Zal discusses in other places. We have the case that we just had not long ago, Shavuos, where Naomi has two daughters-in-law, two non-Jewish daughters-in-law who had converted, Orpah and Ruth. And when Naomi puts them to the test and she tries to convince both of them to leave, Orpah leaves, Ruth remains. And we're told that again, Orpah and Ruth were two different worlds, two completely different planets. From Ruth was destined to come forth David HaMelech, upon whom the entire eternity of the Jewish people is dependent on David HaMelech and the kingdom of the family of David. From Orpah came forth Goliath, the giant, the savior of the Philistines, the Pelishtim, who insulted Hashem, who disgraced, who terrorized the Jewish people, and eventually was defeated by David HaMelech. And again, regarding what we're seeing here, the way it seems, based on what we're learning here, it seems sort of like a setup, although Rav Nosson Zal did explain that everyone had their chance in this world. According to how a person lived their life in this world, that's going to define their future. Once this world is over, for a person to come in the future and say, I'm ready to do a mitzvah now, it's too late. It's too late for the person themselves to be able to repair their situation, to express regret. A tzaddik, there are stories in the Gemara, and we've spoken about this in the past, a tzaddik can even help a person in the next world. Even a person who left this world incomplete, having committed many sins, etc. A tzaddik is so great that even the next world, he has the authority to override the rules, the punishments, the judgments and everything based on his incredible closeness to Hashem and the authority that Hashem gives him. But for us, Jews and lahavdil non-Jews, normally, once we get there, game over. It's either punishment, chas v'shalom in Gehenna, etc., or reincarnation, which sometimes can be better, sometimes can be worse, even chas v'shalom, you know, etc. This Gemara, which Rav Nosson Zal explained here, I'm almost positive he brings it up again in several places in Likutei Halachos and gives other explanations and clarifications of it. So here we've gotten a certain image, a certain better understanding of what the Gemara is referring to and what the mission is in this world and what's now and what's the future. We've been given a certain understanding of that picture.
Also, I believe that Goyim cannot perform the mitzvah of Sukkah according to the Rambam, Shabbos, Sukkah, and learning Torah.
That a Goy is not permitted to perform the mitzvah, you mean?
I believe the Rambam says that Goyim cannot perform the mitzvah of Sukkah.
And Shabbos, and? And learning Torah. Yes. Can a goy put on tefillin? Can a goy keep the other holidays.
Can the Rav please explain if the physical performance of mitzvot is enough to make levushim, garments, to receive the Or Latid Lavo in the future?
The answer is yes, definitely. The physical performance of a mitzvah does generate kelim vessels. However, the more kavanah, the more intent, the more knowledge that a person has about performing the mitzvah, and the more the person performs the mitzvah with love and respect, b'dechilu rechimu, with love for Hashem, with respect for Hashem, there are levels and levels. You know, the spirituality is infinite. Each person, according to the level on which they perform a mitzvah, that will generate the level of vessels, the level of kelim, you know, that the person needs.
Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about the tzaddikim versus rishonim, but what about the beinonim that are somewhere in between?
They're in between. They're in the middle in certain respects. You know, it's depending on all kinds of different factors, they can be included and integrated with tzaddikim, or chas v'shalom the opposite, depending on the choices that they make. Before we go on, I want to mention one additional point that Rabbi Nazal says in Sichoi Saran, in Rabbi Nachman's wisdom. He mentions there that in Gan Eden, in the future world, in paradise, the tzaddikim will be in Gan Eden, and they'll be, and he used the term here, garments, that every mitzvah that a person performs creates garments, that these garments are vessels into which to be able to receive the light. So Rabbi Nazal said there that there are going to be people outside of Gan Eden who are going to be screaming, please, give us clothes. We're naked. We don't have any clothing to cover ourselves. We need, give us food, give us drink. And they're going to be offered physical clothing, and they're going to say, no, we don't mean that. We need mitzvahs and we need mitzvahs to cloak ourselves with. You know, over here, physical garments and physical food don't do anything. And Rabbi Nazal says there, again, that the tzaddikim, besides the garments that they have for themselves, besides the vessels that they have created for themselves, they have also generated kelim. A tzaddik can say that this person, he gives an example, just like when a person sends someone on a mission, I want you to go deliver this package for me in this place. And the person says, but in order to get into there, you need a special card that gives you to get past the security entrance. Here's the card you'll take with you, and you also need a briefcase. The one who sends him on the mission gives him the things he needs to be able to fulfill the mission. The tzaddik has the authority and right to be able to give people the garments that they need. The people, each one depending on the connection that they have to the tzaddik, even over there, in order to accommodate, in order to help the person. That's the example that Rabbi Nazal uses over there in Sichas Saran. It's a little bit clearer there. I'm giving it to you on a general level. Any other questions, please? Okay. We go on to Halacha Dalid, which we said is based on a major chapter in Likutei Moran, one of the larger ones, which was said by Rabbi Nachman on Shabbos Chanukah, which is one of the main times of the year when Rabbi Nachman wanted his students to come to him. Al pi hamaymar vayhi miketz, that chapter in Likutei Moran is based on the opening pasuk of Parshas Miketz, which is the Torah portion that we usually read on Shabbos Chanukah. And Rabbi Nazal begins that Torah with a pasuk, Ki merachamim yenahagim. Those who have real kindness, they are the ones who are qualified to lead the Jewish people. Ayin shom b'likutei tanina simen zayin. Study that chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran, to get a good basis for this halacha. Rav Nosson Zal gives us a little bit of a summary in paragraph Aleph. Ki ikar horachmonus lohoitzi Yisroel me'avoinois ulohoyer bohem hadas ulehishtade lohoyer beben v'talmid. Rabbeinu Zal starts that Torah speaking about kindness and pity. We know that when we talk to people in this world, usually when we hear about a person who doesn't have a job for a period of time, we say, wow, it's such a rachmanis on that person. It's such a pity on that person. They can't support their family. Or when we hear a person who's going through a physical illness or an emotional problem, whatever it is, we say it's a big rachman. That person needs kindness. But Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran that the greatest rachmanis is to be able to take people out of sin. Because all suffering is generally the result of sins. The Gemara says, "Ein yisurin b'loy chet, ve'ein misa b'loy ovein." There's no suffering without sin, and there's no death without sin. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, therefore, when we see people going through all kinds of different suffering and we want to solve their problem, we want to give them money, we want to buy them a home, we want to give them medicine or this, that, we need to know that underneath all of that, behind all of that, the most important way that we can help a person in this world is by making them aware of Hashem, giving them awareness, recognition of Hashem, and getting them out of sin into mitzvah. That's the greatest rachmonis. And he quotes the pasuk, Ashrei maskil eldol, fortunate is the person who gives sechel, intelligence, knowledge, to a poor person. Because the Gemara says in Nedarim, Ein oni ela min adas. The real definition of poor is when a person is lacking in awareness and recognition of Hashem. A person who has billions of dollars and they have no idea what they're doing in this world. They have no idea what the purpose of life is. That person is a pauper. They have nothing. Everything they have is meaningless. The Gemara says, Imdas konisa ma chosarto. Imdas chosarto ma konisa. If you have acquired das, if you have real das, what are you lacking? What are you missing? Anything physical that you're missing, anything materialistic that you're missing, you look at it as nonsense. I don't need that. As long as I have my recognition of Hashem, my awareness of Hashem, and I know that Hashem is good, and everything Hashem does is good, whether I have more or less, it doesn't matter. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. And if a person doesn't have das, and they have everything else, the Gemara says, what do they have? Imdas chosarto ma konisa. All the possessions in the world cannot fulfill them, cannot give the person any real fulfillment. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that the greatest rachmonis is to be able, here again, many people have asked me in the past when it comes to charity, giving tzedakah, there are so many different possibilities. Supporting hospitals. Hospitals are places of rachmanis, where we show kindness and pity on people who are suffering from illnesses, sicknesses. Or a soup kitchen, which is providing food for people who don't have food. Or a yeshiva, a place where they're studying Torah. Which is more important? Which is better? And there's a lot to say about this. I'm not giving a one-line answer here. But just briefly, on a certain level, the highest level of rachmanis is educating people about Hashem, giving people real awareness and recognition about Hashem, what the purpose of life is, what a sin does, what a mitzvah does, and bringing people close to Hashem. That's the greatest rachmanis. That's the greatest achievement. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ulahoyer bohem hadas," and to shine into people das. And again, usually when Rav Nosson Zal or Rabbeinu Zal is using the term das, they don't just mean knowledge in the sense; they mean awareness and recognition of Hashem, which means especially the Torah. But again, studying the Torah, studying religion in a manner that brings the person close to Hashem, that makes the person a better person in every respect. And to make every effort to teach this a son and a student. Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter in the Kutumaran, references a Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about a person who leaves this world and does not leave behind a replacement for themselves. And the Gemara says there that there are two opinions as to what this means. One rabbi says this means to leave behind a son, and the other rabbi says it means a student. And over there in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal goes into major, major discussion and explanation how the son represents, the son comes from the actual seed of the brain of the father. So the son usually would have an advantage of being closer to the father than a student who studies from a rabbi but isn't actually created from the seed in the brain of the rabbi. Although Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran that a good son is also a student, and a good student is also a son. The Gemara says that kol aloyme ben chaveroi Torah ki'ilu yoldoi, that a person who teaches his friend's son Torah, it's as if the teacher gave birth to that son. So a student is a son, and at the same time, one of the main aspects of a relationship between a father and son is teaching the son Torah, v'shinantam levanecha. So a son is supposed to be a student also. And Rabbeinu Zal goes into this very broadly in that chapter on Likut Imran. But on a certain basic level, the son refers to the higher level, the student is the lower level. And Rabbeinu Zal teaches us there that a true tzaddik is one who can relate to both of them, one who is teaching both of these, and he knows exactly how to relate to the one on a higher level and how to relate to the one on a lower level. We'll see more about this soon. Validei zeh zoichin lemakifin. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that a person who shares their knowledge with others, whether it's the son or the rabbi, the father to the son, the rabbi to the student, by emptying out my brain into other people, that makes room in my brain. That generates a vacuum in a sense, so that my makifin, that knowledge which has not yet come into my brain, it's like a halo around my head, the makifin go into my brain, which means I receive a whole new revelation of knowledge, things that I didn't know before, things that I couldn't understand before. By my sharing my knowledge with others, I'm given the gift that these makifin, Shehem Iker Shiashua Olam Haba, which is one of the most significant pleasures in the future world. These makifin, this higher level understanding of Hashem. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Mo Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzofanto Liroyecha. What is this incredible good that you have hidden away, reserved for those who respect you? The term Mo, means what, and mo also means nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we are nothing. V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. And so the term mo is used sometimes to refer to the highest level light, the keser, the crown, or even highest levels of light, which are referred to as nothing in the sense of no constriction, no tzimtzum. It's the highest possible level light, which is reserved for those who respect Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say there, V'tzorech sheyeh lahatzadik b'chinas koil. A tzaddik must possess the quality of everything. A tzaddik must be for everyone. We know that we say in the morning, in the Shacharis Tefillah, L'cho Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gvura v'ha-tiferes v'ha-netzach v'ha-hoid. We list 5 of the 7 lower spheres, Gedula is Chesed, and so on and so forth. And then we say, Ki choyel bashamayim uva'oretz. And then we say, L'cho Hashem hamamlocha. We go on to Malchus. Where is Yesoid? Where is the sphere of Yesoid in this? It's brought that the words Ki choyel are bigematria Yesoid. Ki, Chaf Yud is 30, Choyl is 50, Chaf Lamed, together it's 80, which is the word Yesoid, which means the Tzaddik. Ki Choyl, Basham, the Tzaddik is called Tzaddik Yesoid Olam, the foundation of the world. Ki Choyl, Bashamayim Uvaretz, the Tzaddik Yesoid must be in heaven and earth. He must be able to address the big guys and the little guys. Lohoyer bedori malo ubedori mato. He must be able to teach and to shine Hashem's light into the upper levels and lower levels. Laharois ledori malo she'enom yoidim klal b'yediyosei b'sporach. The tzaddik has to be able to show the people who are very knowledgeable and very advanced that they haven't even begun yet to understand the greatness of Hashem. The tzaddik, the true tzaddik, is so much greater than them that he's able to show them that you haven't even started yet. Ubedore mata, and regarding the people who are on a very low level, very far from Hashem, b'chinas aye mekoyim kevoidoi, the message that the tzaddik is delivering to the people in the Dore Mala is, where is Hashem? In other words, he shows them, you thought you had Hashem in your pocket already. You thought you were so close to Hashem. The tzaddik opens their eyes to see that Hashem is so much bigger than they ever imagined, so that they see, wow, we thought Hashem was, we were right next to Hashem. We see now that we're billions of miles away. And they're saying, where is Hashem? Bechinas mechomis, as the Zohar Kodesh says, that the angels, sometimes when they look up to Hashem, they say, mechomis, me, what do you see? We don't see anything. They realize that they don't see. Ulehepech, and the exact opposite message has to be delivered, ledore mata, to the people who are on a very low level, shoich neofor, the people who are lying in the dirt, hamunochim bidyuta hatachtoina, who are lying in the lowest, lowest places, shenid melohem shem rechoikim ma'oid mimene yisborach, whereby it appears to them as if they're very far from Hashem. The tzaddik has to be able, laharois lehem, to show them, shehashem imam, that Hashem is with you, no matter how low you, umalchusoi bakoil mashallah, the pasuk says. Hashem's kingdom rules everywhere, even in the furthest, most distant places, even in the places of the greatest darkness and impurity, Hashem is there also. Ki maloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi, because the pasuk says Hashem's honor, Hashem's light fills the entire world, oretz, artsius, the lowest levels. Vayde klolius ben v'talmid, and through the combination of these two, the son and the student, the higher level and the lower level, ayde ze meir b'shas u'achilo he'oras ha'rotzoin. Rabbein Azal explains over there in Likut Imran that a tzaddik who achieves this, who does this, that tzaddik is zoicha, when he's eating, to receive an incredible high light from Hashem that's called He'oras HaRotzoin, a light of desire, of yearning for Hashem, of goodwill. Bechinas Ma'po'al Kel, which is referred to in the pasuk where it says there's going to come a time in the future when the angels are going to be asking the tzaddikim, what is Hashem doing? Meaning that tzaddikim are going to be so much closer to Hashem than even the angels, that the angels are going to be able, are going to have to ask Hashem, Ma Po'al Kel, what is Hashem doing? Ayin Shem, look over there in Likut Imran. It's a long chapter. It's about seven, eight pages with a lot of details. Rav Nosson Zal gave us a basic summary here that we need to be able to go into the halacha. Any questions, please?
What really is Das? How do we understand Das and how it relates to spheres?
To explain how Das relates to the spheres, now's not the best time for it, and I'm not necessarily qualified completely to explain that. But I mentioned before, and I really want to emphasize this, that Das in the Kant, in Sifrei Chassidus especially, and really throughout the whole Torah, The real definition of das on the most clear, simple level is awareness and recognition of Hashem. That's what it means. Now again, there's Chochma Bino and Das, and there's Keser Chochma and Bino, in which case Das is referred to as a combination of Chasodim and Gvurois. And throughout Likutei Halachos, we're going to have hundreds of times that the term Das will be used, and sometimes Rav Nosson Zal will qualify it and give different, you know, alternate explanations of what it refers to. But the term that on the most basic and necessary level for us to relate to it, it's talking about awareness and recognition of Hashem that comes via the Torah, via studying the Torah, and it comes via a connection to tzaddikim, and it comes through prayer. Again, all of these three ways that a person's brain is opened to be able to receive recognition, awareness, knowledge of Hashem and of religion and of purpose of life.
A rabbi once told me that reciting Tehillim is one of the easy ways to das.
I believe possibly what the rabbi was referring to there was that the Gemara says that David HaMelech, who was the main one to organize the Sefer Tehillim, he prayed to Hashem that Hashem should give the power to Tehillim, that a person reading Tehillim with sincerity should accomplish the same thing as a person who studies some of the most difficult Mishnayos in Shas, the Mishnayos of Negoim and Oholos, and he was granted that. So again, like we said before, prayer. There are two ways to achieve this Das. We mentioned this recently. There's a chapter in the Likutei Moran, chapter 21, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks over there about two ways that a person acquires Das. There's the standard procedure, where a person starts off learning the ABC or the Aleph Beis, and then they learn words, letters, and words, and vowels. And it's a process that takes years, going from level to level methodically, an inch, another inch by inch, acquiring all the building blocks, you know, to be able to read, and growth that takes years. That's one way. That's called ocher, that's the back. Then there's another method called ponim, the face, where a person receives shefa elokai, Rabbeinu Zal says there. A person receives a flow of divine light. And Rabbeinu Zal explains there that a person who works on themselves to purify the seven openings of the head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. And Rabbeinu Zal touches on what that means over there, that a person who works on that and prays and screams to Hashem. There are two methods. In that chapter, it addresses two procedures. The purification of these seven openings of the head and tsa'oka, screaming to Hashem. Tsa'akosenu yoidea talumos. That through the combination of those things, a person receives the das, sometimes in the form of a tsunami, a flood, that the person can receive in a minute what other people couldn't achieve in 10 lifetimes. We gave the example once of the Arizal, who would get up for Chatzos every night and daven Neitz, and on Shabbos afternoon, he would nap, usually. And one of his students, Rabbi Avram Alevi, once walked in on him when the Arizal was napping, and he saw his lips moving, and he heard words of Torah. And then the Arizal woke up and saw him, and Rabbi Avram Alevi said, Rebbe, I know that you were studying. Could you please share with me something that you were learning? And the Arizal smiled and said that for me to be able to share with you the secrets that I just learned now about the story of Balak and Bilam would take me 80 years. So again, we see that the Arizal, through working on himself, through purifying himself, and through the study of through all of his Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem, arose to a level where he could receive this Das, you know, in a much quicker, more powerful way than the standard methodology. And the whole concept of coming close to a tzaddik, The difference between a person studying Torah on their own and the person becoming close to tzaddikim and receiving the Torah from them is also a completely different league of recognition and awareness of Hashem. I don't remember if I mentioned it recently in a shiur. It came up yesterday in conversation with somebody, the story of Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, whose father was not from the Hasidim. And Rav Levi Yitzchak at one, grew up as a religious, studious Talmud Chacham, and at one point he left home to go to the Mizritcha Magid, the main student of the Baal Shem Tov, the one who took over the leadership of Hasidus after the Baal Shem Tov passed away. And he spent time by the Mizritcha Magid, became very close to him, and his eyes were open to the light of Hasidus, etc. And when he came back home, at one point in time, his father wanted to tease him a little bit. So the father said to him, Levi Yitzchak, you went to this great Rebbe. What did he teach you? What did you learn there? So he said to him, I learned that there's a Hashem. I learned that Hashem created the world and Hashem runs the world. So his father smiled, laughed, and he called the maid. They had a maid in the house. And he said, Sprinza, come here. And he said, who created the world? She said, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashem. And who runs the world? Hashem. So he looked at his son, like, what do you say now? So he saw, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak smiled and said in Yiddish, Sie sagt und ich weiß. She's saying it, and I know it. And what was implied in that is there are many people who say, they sing the song. You know, the expression. They say Shema Yisrael Hashem Lakeshem Echod, they say different things. But one of the benefits, one of the incredible benefits that a person gets from coming close to tzaddikim is a completely different league of recognition and awareness of Hashem. That's acquired again through all three paths: the study of Torah, closeness to tzaddikim, and tefillah. All three of those play a very important role in getting to this das.
And thank you. And is getting to das really?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole question. Is getting to das?
Connect the spheres without das.
Please repeat the question. Please repeat the question.
That is our whole goal, just to connect to Das, because that's really our only interface with all the spheres.
Very good question. The Zohar Kodesh says in one place, it defines our mission in this world in three words. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was either Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Moshe Rabbeinu who was asked this question. How would you say, what is our mission in this world? And the answer was three words. Begin de yishtemoidoin lei. In order that we should get to know Him, meaning Hashem, referring to Hashem. And again, that it includes, the term Das in this context includes everything, because we said that Das is a combination of Chesed and Gvura. And Chesed and Gvura, we said before that all the Midos include all of them also. But this is one of the best ways of expressing our mission statement in this world. Now again, if a person has recognition of Hashem and they don't perform mitzvahs, we know the Gemara says, Imein Yira Ein Chachma. And the Gemara says, any person whose Chachma is greater than his actions, than his mitzvahs, that's not called Chachma. So again, we have to be careful not to take anything out of context. When we mention something, this is being said in the context of the rest of the entire Torah. But that's one of the ways that we summarize our mission in this world. Begin this to my doin lay. It's trying to achieve new recognition of Hashem every day, every minute, with every action that we do. Like Rav Nosson Zal said here, every mitzvah is preparing kelim into which to receive this light. Some of that light we receive while we're in this world, And especially we're creating vessels, when the Torah defines what's going to take place in the future, it says, Kimolo ha'oretz deos Hashem, kamayim layam echasen. The world will be filled with recognition of Hashem, knowledge and awareness and recognition of Hashem, like the water that covers the ocean floor. Saw someone mentioned in the name of the Ramchal that the pasuk v'yodata hayom v'ashevose levavecha, that a person needs to achieve awareness of Hashem in the brain and convey it to their heart, and one of the main ways of achieving this is through chokhmah so'emes, the study of Kabbalah, secrets of Torah. That takes a person to a whole completely different level of das. I was listening just yesterday to a recording of a shiur that Rav Rosenthal gave about 45 years ago when I was a teenager, Baruch Hashem. And at one point he was giving shiurim in Tikkuni Zohar in the Breslov Shul in Yerushalayim in Mea Shearim. And I had the privilege of sitting in on some of those shiurim, and he was mixing, combining Gemara and the Zohar Kodesh back and forth. And the statement that came out of his mouth and was then, again, that it's impossible to learn Gemara without the Zohar HaKadosh. You know, because he, who had mastered both tremendously, saw how much additional understanding a person gets of Nigla Sheba Torah, of the revealed portion of the Torah, once they taste a little bit of the secrets of Torah. Any other questions, please, before we close? Wishing everybody a wonderful day. Yeshuas, refuas. To be continued, Mitzvah Shem.
Thanks, Rav Nelson.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. All the best.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All the best.
Rav Nelson. Have a good day.